Very good. Let's take the Word of God this morning. We'll go to Matthew chapter number 25. Matthew chapter 25. And all right, very good. It's good to see everybody here this morning. And my wife and I are very thankful to have been here yesterday for the couples conference. We had a great time, and we enjoyed our trip together, just her and I. That doesn't happen often. We have three children. Our daughter Abby is 22. She's in Woodbridge, Virginia, teaching there in a Christian school. And then our son is 20. He's in Bible college, a junior. And he came home to keep an eye on our 16-year-old son, who did not appreciate that at all, right? And he said, "Dad, I don't need a babysitter." I said, "No, but you need someone to watch over you, all right?" And so they're together today, and then our 16-year-old son. So we're thankful to be here just together and join the time. And last night, we went to Chick-fil-A. Praise God for Chick-fil-A, all right? And I did meet some people who were there last night that worked here. Were some of you? All right. There were some. Oh, yeah. All right. Very good. Well, we saw them, and I thought, they've got to be from Ambassador, all right? They have to be. And so that's great. Well, we're at Matthew chapter 25, and I want to just be an encouragement to you today. As I am preaching to you, I'm thinking about my own church back in Ohio, and we've been there now for 13 years at Grace Baptist Church in Urbana, Ohio. It's a small town of about 10,000 people, but the Lord is good and faithful and gracious. I'm originally from Knoxville, Tennessee, so that's a good thing, being in the South, all right? My wife is from Georgia, and Stone Mountain, Georgia, actually, and we got married in Stone Mountain, Georgia, and never thought the Lord would move us away from the South, but He did, and but we love it, and we thank God for His faithfulness. Well, this morning, I want to speak to you on this subject, God's call for faithfulness. God's call for faithfulness. Now, I know the emphasis yesterday and today is on the family, but as we think about the family, what does God call for each family member to be, and that is faithful? Now, what do you think about when you think of the word faithfulness? Maybe you think of someone who has been a faithful pastor or maybe a faithful missionary. Maybe you have an idea of a faithful parent or a faithful servant. Faithfulness. Many of you may remember the tragic events during the president's, when Ronald Reagan was the president of our country. And during that time, they had the terrorist bombings on the Marine barracks in Beirut. Now, during that time, the terrorists came in and they bombed, even while many Americans were sleeping that night. Hundreds of Americans died, and obviously, many of others were wounded. During that time, I came across a story that one of the commanders by the name of Paul Kelly, he went to Germany where they had taken lots of the wounded American soldiers, and they were there recovering in the hospital. There was one man by the name of Jeffrey Lee Nashton. Now, Jeffrey had more tubes going in and out of him than what most machines have, and he was badly injured. And when the commander came to him, he wanted to salute, but he could barely do that. He wanted to stand to attention, but he motioned for someone to give him a piece of paper and a pen, and on that he wrote, "Semper Fi," which means forever faithful. Well, I think that was a good picture of faithfulness. And brethren, I believe that the greatest picture of faithfulness in God's Word is the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. And as we come to Matthew chapter 25, I want us to come to this parable, this story that Jesus has given to us. A parable is something that is cast alongside for us to gain attention and to grasp the understanding. We come to Matthew chapter 25, we come to verse number 14. The Bible says, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that had received two, he also gained other two. But he that had received one went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received five talents came and brought other five talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me five talents. Behold, I have gained beside them five talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. He also that had received two talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me two talents. Behold, I have gained two other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went, and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he that shall have abundance, but from him that hath not shall be taken away, even that which he hath. Well, let's begin this morning with a word of prayer. Father, I thank you for this time to give this Sunday school lesson. And I pray that you will bless today. Lord, give us understanding of the Scriptures. We pray even now the Holy Spirit would teach us. And Father, I pray you'd use me. And Lord, I'm just your servant. But I pray that, Lord, you will work through me today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I believe this morning that God has a call for faithfulness. What does God want from you? Can I tell you what God wants? He wants a faithful life. Now, faithfulness, we often have different ideals of what faithfulness means. When I read this passage, there are certain words that the Lord uses here to help us to understand about faithfulness. I want you to understand that faithfulness is possible for all believers, regardless of how long you have been saved, regardless of your talents, regardless of your ability. God can enable you to be a faithful person. And this morning, if you're a father, I believe you desire to be a faithful father. If you're a mother, you want to be a faithful mother. You want to be a faithful husband or a faithful wife or a faithful young person. God's call today is for faithfulness. Now, by the way, faithfulness is not what some people think. In fact, you know that you can be regarded highly successful in the eyes of men and yet unfaithful in the eyes of God. I am concerned today not about what people think about me, but what God knows to be true about me. You see, faithfulness is really a matter of the heart. In fact, I think for a time you can hide your unfaithfulness. Now, eventually it will be revealed. In fact, the Bible tells us in Proverbs 20, verse 6, it says, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find. You know, it's amazing. I went the area where we're at. Lots of men like to hunt and fish. That's a big area for that. And it's funny. Men begin to tell stories about the big buck that got away, you know. And they tell stories about fishing and all of that. Well, you know, sometimes when you're telling a story, you can make yourself out to be the hero. You can make yourself out to be what really you are not. Most men do proclaim their own goodness, but God says a faithful man who can find. In fact, Proverbs 25:19 says, confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. You know something? My family needs a faithful dad. My family needs a faithful husband. My family needs a faithful wife and a faithful mother. And I am praying that my children are faithful to God. They are faithful to God. And by the way, let me say this to you. Faithfulness to God settles all other areas where faithfulness is required. You see, I want to be a faithful husband. God has blessed my wife and I with 25 years of being married. And I'm so thankful for that. We celebrated, I told the group yesterday, back in July, we had the pastor that married us, Pastor Lou Rossi, to come back, and we redid our wedding vows together. And we just had a great time. We left and went on our second honeymoon, all right? And man, it was just great. It was wonderful. And I thank God for my wife. And I want to be a faithful husband. I want to be a faithful dad to my children. I want to be a faithful pastor to my church. But how is all of that going to be possible? It starts and ends with our faithfulness to God. You see, when I'm right with God in the private, secret place of my heart, when I'm faithful to God, that enables me to be faithful in every other area. I remember that when I was first married, I remember praying that I would be loyal and faithful to my wife, and that I would never be unfaithful to her. But one time when I was praying, God directed my praying differently. And I began praying, God, help me to just be faithful to you. Because if I'm faithful to God, I'll be faithful to her. And if I'm faithful to God, I'll be faithful to my children to teach them and to love them and to train them in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. If I'm faithful to God, I'll be a faithful pastor and I'll be a faithful soul winner. You see, faithfulness is what is required of all of us today. What is God's call for faithfulness? It's God's call for you. Now, we understand that faithfulness to God begins in the private, secret place of our heart. In fact, do you know that many Christians just live surface lives? They keep their public life in order, but their private life is out of order. Their public life is, oh, people think that they're a good Christian, but privately, they have no real, genuine walk with God. Publicly, they seem like a good man or a good woman, but privately, when God only sees them and no one else sees them, they are not faithful to God. In fact, I remember back in October the 25th, 1999, the story is told about a jet who taxied down the runway of Orlando, and it was on its way to Dallas, Texas. But over Gainesville, Florida, the plane took a left turn and headed, and it was supposed to head to Texas, but it veered off course and it was heading towards South Dakota. Now, you understand that when that takes place, the air traffic control is trying to radio people and find out what is going on. You're off course, and they set their course before they ever left the runway, and there was no response. Finally, out of desperation, two F-16 fighter pilots were sent up to assess what was going on. And as those F-16 planes came up close, they noticed that all of the windows on that small Learjet were frosted over. They knew what had happened. They had lost the oxygen containment in the plane, and everyone had died. Now that plane, there was nothing they could do. The plane eventually went and crashed and killing everyone on board. But I want you to think just for a moment with me. What if you were standing on the ground somewhere and you looked up and you saw that plane? Now you did not know that they were in distress. You did not know that plane was heading for destruction and death. You had no idea. You might stand there and look up and say, well, look at that plane. It's on course and it's going its way. But you know something? Inside the plane, the death had already taken place. And I think sometimes, I remember years ago, I was a youth pastor for 12 years in Illinois. And there was a friend of mine who was a youth pastor in a church about 20, 30 minutes away. I would preach for him and he would preach for me. And we did youth activities together. And I got the call one day that young man had been unfaithful to his wife and destroyed his ministry and just what it caused and all of that. And you know something? On the outside, everything seemed to be right. I mean, he was winsome. He was, a great personality. He could preach well and all of that. But I could not see what was going on in his heart. And brethren, there is a God in heaven who knows what is happening in our heart. And that is why where faithfulness begins, it begins and ends in our heart, the private, secret place of our lives. Brethren, nothing is more important than your life than what is going on in your heart privately with God. Nothing is more important. In fact, you know something, as a general rule, the more faithful we are, the more unfaithful we realize that we really are in our lives. I think it's almost as if as we draw nigh to Christ and we are trusting in His faithfulness to enable us to be faithful in all areas of our life, we recognize how unfaithful we really have been. So I'm going to give you three simple thoughts today about God's call for faithfulness. Will you answer the call? I want to answer the call. I got a call late last night from a school parent. We have a school and dealing with some issues. And as a pastor, I've got to get back and deal with things already. And you know something, I want to be available for that call. Many people have called me in the middle of the night. I want to be available for that call, to answer the call. I'll never forget years ago when my wife and I were in the hospital and she was giving birth to our first child, Abby. And I remember she was in distress, the baby was in distress, and they ushered me out of the room. And I was scared to death, 26 years of age, no family around, her family not around, nobody was around. I remember I picked up the phone to call my dad in Tennessee, my mom and dad, and asked them to pray, but I could not reach them. And I remember that night, God taught me a great lesson that God was always available. And I remember getting on my knees in a room in that hospital, bearing my heart before God, knowing that God heard my call. And brethren, this morning, God wants you to answer the call to faithfulness. God wants you to be a faithful man, a faithful husband, a faithful wife, a faithful young person, a faithful college student. God's call is for faithfulness. Number one, let's talk about the responsibility of faithfulness. Now, God has entrusted to you a variety of responsibilities. Now, for many of you, it might come in the form of gifts or talents or abilities. God has entrusted you. In fact, let's look back in verse number 14 of Matthew chapter 25, because I want you to see this word, and maybe you, if you're in the habit of writing things in the Bible, you would underline or circle some of these things. Verse 14 says, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants." There's the call. And the Bible says, "and delivered unto them his goods." Now, don't miss that. This man delivered unto the servants his goods. And hear me out today. The talents that God has given unto you, God has delivered unto you his goods. That's his. They belong to him. That's why we should never be proud or arrogant about the gifts or the talents or the abilities, because God gave them to us. He delivered them unto us. And let me say this, He has entrusted you with those goods. You know, I did not call myself to be a pastor. In fact, when I surrendered my life to the Lord, I got saved at the age of 17, and when I gave my life to the Lord, I remember 3 months later, God began to put a desire in my heart to preach. Now, if you could have known me at 17, you might have thought, that's a bad idea, all right? I struggled in speech class. I mean, it was not good. And I remember the wrestling going on in my heart. And I argued with God, "Lord, this is not a good idea." I mean, I don't know why we argue with the Lord, but we do. And I remember saying, "God, I can't do that." But I came to the place where the Lord said, "Son, I am entrusting you with this. It's not mine. God has entrusted me with that." And you see, I must preach the gospel. I must pastor. I must do what God has given me to do. But there is a responsibility of faithfulness. Now, all of us this morning, we have responsibilities that have been entrusted or assigned to us by God. Now, this morning, I have staff that are doing things that I've assigned to them to do. Someone's preaching this morning. Someone's teaching Sunday school. Someone is driving the bus. And someone is working in the children's class. And all of that, those are things that I've entrusted. I've said, "Here, take this and do this to the best of your ability. but do it honoring unto the Lord. Now, you know something? We all have two types of responsibilities this morning. There are those that we enjoy doing and those we don't enjoy doing. We all have responsibilities that, hey, that's what I want to do. But can I tell you what faithfulness to God means? It means that we are faithful to do what we enjoy doing and what we don't enjoy doing. That's real faithfulness. Real faithfulness is that God has given me this responsibility. He has delivered unto me His goods, and I am going to do them whether I like them or not because they have been given to me by God. And let me say this to you. A faithful Christian fulfills his responsibility whether he feels like doing them or not. Look, I think all of us would admit this morning, I can admit, that there's sometimes I don't want to read the Bible. Now, would anybody else be honest this morning? Have you ever come to that place? All right, good. That makes me feel a little better, all right? Or do we always want to pray? No. Do we always want to share the gospel and tell others about Jesus Christ? No. You see, but we do it whether we feel like doing it or not. Because faithfulness is, God, you have entrusted this to me. I believe that you will enable me to do this, and I will follow through with what you've given me to do. But an unfaithful Christian does what he feels like doing and doesn't do what he doesn't feel like doing. So this morning, if you're only faithful to what you enjoy doing, you're not a faithful person. But if you only do what you feel like doing, that really is an unfaithful man or an unfaithful woman. For instance, men, let's talk about this. Do you know that God has entrusted you, if you are married, He has entrusted with you the responsibility to lead your home. That is a responsibility that has been delivered to you by God. Now, sometimes you don't feel like leading your home. But if you're going to be a faithful man, you will lead your home spiritually speaking. By the way, leadership is not domination. Leadership is servanthood. Leadership is recognizing that God has given you this responsibility. Men, you're to provide for your family's needs. That is a responsibility. But ladies, God has entrusted with you, if you're married, to submit to your husband, to love him, to be the helpmeet that God has created you to be. But parents, God has entrusted with us that we are to teach our children God's precious word. In fact, I am supposed to nurture my children. I am to train them in that nurture and admonition of the Lord. But let me tell you something. Sometimes that's enjoyable and sometimes that's not enjoyable. Sometimes that means it's going to be long days and maybe long nights. But that is the responsibility that God has entrusted to us. Young people, God has entrusted with you to honor and to obey your parents. You know, sometimes young people can think, well, I'm going to be faithful to God, but not faithful to my mom and dad. Well, that is not true faithfulness. Faithfulness to God means I'm going to be faithful to honor and to obey. I'm going to be faithful to submit in the areas where God has called me to submit. So we see the responsibility of faithfulness. Remember this back in verse 14 where it says, and delivered unto them his goods. They're not yours. They are God's. God has entrusted you the responsibility of faithfulness. Number two, there is a reckoning of faithfulness. Now let's go to verse number 16, if you would please, of Matthew chapter 25. The Bible says, then he that had received the five talents went and traded with the same and made them other five talents. And likewise, he that had received two, he also gained other two. But he that had received one went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. Now notice verse 19. And after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. Now when I grew up in Tennessee, we used to say the word, well, I reckon so, all right? Well, that's not really the implication of Matthew chapter 25 here. The word reckoneth means to settle accounts with. Now, for instance, you know, we're getting ready to come up on tax time. Don't you love paying your taxes, all right? No, we don't enjoy doing that. You know, have you ever looked at all what your taxes go to, especially your property taxes? It can get pretty discouraging, you know? And you would like to say, I would like to allocate these differently, you know? But you can't do that. But you know something? Tax time, you have to, in a sense, reckon with them. There is a settling. There is a, okay, we have to take all that you made and make sure that you paid what you were supposed to pay. There is a settling of accounts. And brethren, let me say this to you. There is coming a day when every one of us will stand before God, and you're going to have a reckoning day with God. He is going to settle the account thereof. Now, let me be very clear about this. That does not mean, as a child of God, that we will stand before God and settle the issue of our sin debt. Brethren, aren't you thankful that was settled at Calvary with the Lord Jesus Christ? That was paid for in full. So I am not standing before God to have my sin, in a sense, settled, whether or not I can go to heaven or go to hell. No, it is the issue of our works before the Lord. I believe with all my heart that I'm going to stand before God and I will give an account of the wife that He delivered unto me. He gave to me. Did I cherish her? Did I love her? Did I obey the Lord? Was I faithful to God when it came to my wife? I believe I will give an account with my children. You know, my wife and I are not perfect parents, and there's been many times when I've had to go to my children and say, please forgive me. I was wrong, and I want to make this right. When I didn't act as a Spirit-filled father, when I did not respond in the right way, when I overreacted to a situation. And you know, I'm thankful for the forgiveness of my kids and the forgiveness of my wife. But brethren, I'm going to stand before God with my children in the sense that God delivered my children unto me. We love our kids. We thank God for them. My youngest son and I are going to India in just about a week and a half. And man, we're looking so forward to that, being together and getting to preach there. My son's coming. He's praying about what the Lord wants him to do. And you know what? I look at this. I am going to try to invest in him for that 9 days that we're away. And I believe it's my responsibility. But can I say this to you? That child God has gifted you with, it's not yours. It's really, the children are a heritage from the Lord. He's delivered them unto you. They are His goods. But God is going to call us to a reckoning day to settle the accounts. Now, understand that you and I will be held accountable for faithfully fulfilling the responsibilities that God has entrusted to us. Now, what is the greatest obstacle to faithfulness? Let's read on in our passage, because I want you to see something that I think is very, very important. The Bible tells us the greatest, I guess, obstacle to faithfulness. Notice in verse 20, "And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more." Now, you know what happened with the 5-talent man. He entrusted that. He took heed to the responsibility, and there came a day when he had to give an account of those 5 talents. And guess what? He had, by God's help and by God's enablement, he has invested in those 5 talents, and he has 5 talents more. And the Lord of those servants says, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." But the man with 2 talents, the Lord did not say, "Well, you didn't have as many talents." Now, we're not speaking of talents as far as physical talents or talent to do something, but this is money that has been entrusted to them, what has been given to them. And he said, "Well, you only have 2. No, there was no comparison to ability or to size. You know what I want us to remember? God is not going to compare you with someone else's talent or someone else's ability. I am not going to stand before God and give an account based on another man here on earth. No. What has God delivered to me? But oftentimes we want to compare ourselves and look what other people are doing and I should be doing that. No, look what God has entrusted you with and be faithful in that area of your life, because that is real faithfulness. But I want you to read on here and notice in verse 24, "Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee, that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him," look at this terminology, "thou wicked and slothful servant. Can I tell you what is the greatest obstacle to faithfulness? It is laziness. And you know something? Faithfulness means that we are not lazy. Now, I believe a person can work hard and still be unfaithful. In fact, I believe a person can work hard at the things that which God has not entrusted with him, or maybe he's working hard at only what he wants to do. That does not mean that we are faithful. What it means is we're still just doing what we want to do. And by the way, is it not interesting that this man gave excuses for his lack of faithfulness? He said, "Lord, I knew that you were a hard man." He gave excuses. By the way, do you know excuses begin all the way back in the Garden of Eden, do they not? I mean, remember Adam and Eve and their sin against God. And Adam said, "Lord, it's that woman that thou gavest me," all right? And then Eve, you know, "It was the serpent that beguiled me." Excuses. And by the way, if your life is marked by excuses, is an evidence that you are not a faithful person. Boy, are we not good at excuses? We are good, are we not? We have children that we have a Christian school, and sometimes kids are standing in the hallway. Now, that's not a good thing if they're standing in the hallway. That means they're waiting for the principal or for me, the superintendent. And I remember one time I walked by and a little boy was standing there. I said, "Hey, buddy, how you doing?" And he didn't really answer me because he was in trouble. And I said, "Hey, how come you're standing in the hallway?" He went, "I don't know." And I thought to myself, "Yes, you do know," you know, the excuses that he wants to give. And you know what? But we're good at excuses, are we not? "Lord, you know, if I had grown up differently, I would be a faithful person. Lord, if I had a different spouse, I would be a faithful person. Lord, if I had a better education, I would be a faithful person." Lord, you know, brethren, God does know in our lives. And the problem is when we give excuses for our lack of faithfulness, I want you to remember what the Lord says, "Thou wicked and slothful servant." Now, that seems harsh, does it not? But brethren, can I tell you, that is how important faithfulness is to the Lord. Now, number three, let's go to the last thing. We talk about the reward of faithfulness. Now, I believe that we will be rewarded according to our faithfulness or our lack of faithfulness. God is not going to look at us one day and say, "Well, I've got this account here. You led this many people to the Lord, and so-and-so only led this many people, so I'm going to really give you a reward." That is not how God does it in our lives. We will give an account, and God is going to try our works by fire. And we understand that the fire deals with the motive behind what we were doing. You know, I am really sad to say this, but I think there was some time in my life as a youth pastor that I did so much in the energy of the flesh, and I did it to be seen of men. And I did it in my own strength. And I'm going to just be honest with you. I do not believe that I'm going to be rewarded for that which I did in my own strength and did it to be seen of men. In fact, the Lord Jesus even said that when we do our works to be seen of men, you have your reward. That's your reward. You get that. You get the satisfaction in your heart and mind to think that people think well of you. But brethren, what God wants to do, He wants to reward us. And brethren, I don't know about you, but I want to stand before the Savior one day. And I want to hear Him say, "Well done, thou good and what? Faithful servant." And we understand our goodness is only because of Jesus Christ. But faithfulness is required in all of our Christian life. Now, I want to end with this. Brethren, how can you and I be faithful? Well, I want you to remember verse, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 24. "Faithful is He that calleth you, who also will do it." I love that verse. I love the first three words, especially, "Faithful is He." Can I tell you what God is? God is the faithful God. I mean, His very name is faithful. And brethren, it is only God who enables us to be faithful in every area of our life. You see, faithfulness is not easy in any situation, but it is possible. And we are enabled to be faithful because Jesus Christ is faithful to you and me. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Listen, I am not trusting my own faithfulness today because I am not faithful in my own strength. No, I am looking to the faithful one. In fact, Hudson Taylor, I think, said it best when he said this: God is not looking for men of great faith. He is looking for common men to trust his great faithfulness. Boy, I love that. Because I come before the Lord, and you know what I say? God, I am not capable of being faithful. God, I cannot be faithful to my wife. I cannot be faithful to my children. I cannot be a faithful man. But Hudson Taylor said, God's not looking for men of great faith. He is looking for common men to trust in God's great faithfulness. He went on to say, all God's giants have been weak men and women who have gotten a hold of God's faithfulness. And brethren, I believe it with all my heart that if you are going to be a faithful man, it's because you're looking to the faithful one. In fact, Hebrews chapter 12 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our what? Faith. Listen, he is the one who has begun a work of faith in you. He's the one who enables you to be a person of faith. He is the faithful one. And today, this is not about leaving here and saying, okay, all right, preacher, I'm going to really work to be faithful. I'm sorry, it won't work. Because you cannot be faithful in your own strength. You are not, that there is no faithfulness in us. But when you come to recognize that you are weak and you can do nothing without Jesus Christ, but I'm looking to the faithful one, then he enables you to do what you can never do in your own strength. Oh, listen, I want to be a faithful man. And I believe that God has called all of us in here to be faithful. Now, are you convicted maybe in your heart? I am as I speak to you about areas of my life wherein I am not faithful to the Lord. And God has given us a responsibility. There is a reckoning day coming, but that reward. Listen, I believe at the judgment seat of Christ, I believe that there are going to be some people that we never knew about that God said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And I believe there'll be ones that we did know a lot about, and they were not faithful to God. You see, God is looking for faithful people. Let's trust his faithfulness this morning. Let's turn to him in dependence. And may God help us to know that we can only be faithful because he is faithful to us. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your goodness in our lives. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity this morning to speak about your faithfulness. Lord, we are not faithful in our own strength, but we are dependent, totally dependent upon your faithfulness to us. Lord, I pray for men in here to determine by God's grace that they will be a faithful man. I pray for women here today that they will be a faithful woman. For the young people here that they'll be faithful. And God, may we look to you, depending upon you, because you are faithful. Lord, thank you for this verse. Faithful is he that called.